Thank you, Melanie. That was great. Thank you. Good morning. It is good to see you here in the house of the Lord today, and we just thank you for coming. Looks like we got a pretty good crowd today. That's great.
Amen.
Look, before we get started on some other things, today is special. It's Memorial Day. Or tomorrow's Memorial Day, but this is the weekend. Many of you may have had friends or relatives who didn't make it back. For our household, it's special because Belinda lost her dad in Vietnam. And I'm sure you've all got relatives and friends that we need to remember at this time. I just thank you. Thank you, the veterans who are here. Thank you for serving. And let's especially remember the ones who didn't make it back home, okay? And with that being said, we've had an interesting week here at First Baptist. I don't know if all of you are aware of it or not, but I don't know what's going on, but let me just tell you a few things. Jim Eiler was put in the hospital earlier this week for some reason, and then he's out, and he's at church today. So thank you, Jim. That's an answer to prayer right there. And in case you don't know, we've also got Linda Bishop, who is at the Peach County Hospital. Jean McDonald has gone to Emory at St. Joseph's. Jack Kemp is at Navicent in Macon. Sheila Bennett is at Piedmont in Macon. And Tim Faircloth, Tim Harbuck, is at Emory in Warner Robins. Folks, this is all this week. So it's been an interesting week to say the least. But please remember these folks in your prayers. And just ask God to protect them and take care of them. He does that, doesn't he, Danny? He answers prayers, doesn't he? And that's what we're asking for today, okay? So with that being said, let's prepare our minds for hearts and worship, please. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him, mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalms 150. Let's bow for prayer, please. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity we have to come to your house and worship. And Lord, we ask you today, remember the families of our fallen veterans who didn't make it back home at this Memorial Day. Thank you for their service. Thank you for their willingness to give it all so we could be here today doing what we're doing. We just lift them up to you right now. And Father, for the ones in our church family who are in the hospitals now, Lord, we know you're a great physician. We know you can heal anything. And Father, we just lift them up to you right now and ask your guidance and your blessings on the doctors that they can treat these people, and let's get them back home here to us at the church. We just lift your name up, and we thank you for all you do. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning. Stand and sing with us. You are worthy of my praise.
I worship
with all of my heart.
With all of my heart.
I will praise you.
All my strength.
I will seek you.
All of my
all of your ways.
I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. I will walk along to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
I will worship. With all of my heart, I will praise you. With all of my strength, I will seek you. All of my days, I will follow.
Seated. Today we pause not only to worship our Lord and Savior, but also to remember and honor the men and women who gave their lives in service to our country. Their sacrifice reminds us that freedom is never free, and we are deeply grateful for the courage, duty, and love they showed to others. Before we hear the reading of In Flandersville, which was a request I got this weekend, let us reflect on the cost of sacrifice and the importance of remembrance. The poem was written during a time of great loss, yet it continues to speak across generations, calling us to remember those who served and those who never came home. As we listen, may we do so with thankful hearts, praying for the families who carry these memories every day, for our service members around the world, and for the peace that only God can truly give. Let's listen now.
Those of you who had Miss Betty Cleveland, I know that you know this because she required it of you to read it and to memorize it. So if you know it, say it along with me. That's okay too. This is In Flanders Field. In Flanders Field, poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Field. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be it yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders Field. Father, we thank you for the individuals who sacrificed all they had to ensure that we are a free people. Thank you, Father, for their commitment to our country and to you as they battled the forces that would come against us. Lord, I ask that on this day especially, as we celebrate Memorial Day, that you will draw near to the families who have lost, to the families whose members did not come home. Lord, draw near and comfort them, strengthen them, and help them to find the joy and the remembrance of the bravery and of the service of their loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Want to welcome you to First Baptist Church. This is a special time in the life of our church. Of course, ever since I've been here, we have never had so many people in the hospitals. I was going from Peach to one Perry, Warner Robins, Fort Valley, everywhere, but it's all good. You know, we're one body. We are the body of Christ. And these are part of our body. So I want us to stand, and I want you to just hold hands with the people that are in your row. We want to lift our folks to the Lord right now. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to come to you. You are our God, and we are one body in Christ. And when one member of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. But we know that we can call upon the Lord night or day. We and you will hear our cry. Father, we are asking and praying for a miracle. Father, we know and we've heard some of the things that the doctors have diagnosed already. God is with us. And Father, we are calling heaven right now. Father, we come and lift up the weary hands, the heavy hands, and we ask, Lord, that you raise our brothers and sisters and bring them back to your house, Father. Bring them back to their homes, Father. Father, we ask, Lord, for healing. You are the great physician. You go a little further. Lazarus was dead 4 days, and you brought him back. Is there anything impossible for you? We lift them up to you now, in Christ's name. Amen.
As you remain standing, remain standing, we're going to continue celebrating Memorial Day with God Bless America. Singing about everything that God does for us.
Thank you.
Jesus Cavia, this gentleman over here, raise and wave, is a graduate of Middle Georgia State University with a double major in music and business. He grew up in Fort Valley on College Street. Local native Beth Collins, who had taken Jesus under her wing, noticed his potential and called Nancy Dyes, she's over here with us too, to ask if she could teach him piano. At that time, he was 14 years old and had begun attending our youth group here at First Baptist. Since he had no piano at home to practice on, an arrangement was made for him to practice in the afternoons here at our church. During his studies with Ms. Dyes, she discovered that he had a wonderful voice and sent him to Macon to receive instruction from Phoebe Settles, an outstanding vocalist and teacher in the area. At that time, Ms. Settles also invited him to sing in the choir at First Presbyterian Church in Macon. The director there, who also teaches voice at Macon State University, encouraged Jesus to transfer from Valdosta State, which where he was going, up to Macon State to study voice. In May, he did receive that double major in music and in business, and now has a full scholarship to Columbus State University to study for a master's degree in music, which will start in the fall. Yes, congratulations. We are so excited to have Jesus here to sing for us today. He's going to sing during the offertory time, but I wanted to go ahead and introduce him now. The Lord has been most gracious to him, and he is proof that one plants, one waters, but it is God who gives the increase. Yes. All right, the love of Christ was never meant to be kept to ourselves. God has called us to be a light in this world, to encourage the hurting, welcome the lonely, forgive freely, and point people to Jesus by the way that we love and the way we live. Let the words of this next song become our commitment this week that everywhere we go, people will see the love of Christ in us.
The world.
I am not going to sing. Don't want to break the windows, you know, none of that. That was awesome. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And we need to invest. You know, people have invested in our lives. And this is why we're here. We're here because somebody cared for us. And they looked at us and maybe the world didn't care too much about us, but somebody did. God put them in their heart, and they helped us. There's been many, many servants that have helped me throughout the years. And so I am here. I am a byproduct of all of those who have invested in my life. So I'm thankful. Thank you, Ms. Nancy, and thank you, Jesus. We'll definitely be praying for you. And We just thank the Lord for your life. And right here from Fort Valley, God is lifting servants. Amen. And so that's exciting. So we're going to be talking about an evangelistic mindset. You know, it's what we put in here is what we say. Someone say if somebody tells you you're a dog, eventually you're going to end up barking. You know. But, and I know, you know, that's a bad joke in Georgia because people bark here. I'm sorry, hermanos. But anyway, but it's good. And so I've been praying and asking the Lord to kind of lay some messages in my heart and see what, which direction he wants me to go. We're praying for revival. I mean, that's the ultimate thing. We're praying for revival. We want people to come to know Jesus. We want people to be baptized. We want people to grow. And so I'm thankful for where we are. You know, success is measured in different ways. I'm excited about how we are beginning to fill all the different ages so that we can tell our community, if you have a small child, you come. You have a young person, you come. If you have a single adult, you come. If you're a young couple, you come. If you're a senior adult, please come. We want to share the gospel with the whole family. That's where we're going. And we pray that we will see revival break loose in our church. I believe that it will take place. Do you believe? Do you believe? You know, lately I have been, of course, this week has been very interesting, going from hospital to hospital. But there's one passage that I read to every person that was in the hospital, and that text has kind of been in my heart all this time. And you know, because you can walk in this journey and you can be fearful. You can be fearful. Sometimes we're afraid of many things. What's the future holds? We're afraid of the economy, we're afraid of many things. But what does God say about that? That's the most important thing as a believer. You want to know what God says. And this is what God says in Isaiah 41, 10. It says, fear not. God says, don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. And, you know, I have to be, this week especially, I talked to myself and said, Dennis, don't be fearful. You know, I'm not just repeating somebody. I'm saying what God is telling me. God says, do not be fearful. And he said, for I am with you. Oh, what a wonderful promise. Don't be fearful. I am with you. Be not dismayed. And then I love the next line, for I am your God. Wow. Amen? Anybody home? Do we need to ask Jesus to come up and sing again? For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Don't look for strength in nobody else. I will strengthen you, says the Lord. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. As they would say in the preaching lab, thou will preach. Amen? Now, you think about that. If you had that for breakfast every morning when you wake up, what would happen? How would your day go? How would your day go if every morning you wake up with that text in your heart and you repeat it? Maybe you put it on your mirror. Maybe you put it on your refrigerator. And God says, don't be fearful. Do not be afraid. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. So what is an evangelistic mindset? And that's our topic today. And I want us to go to Romans chapter 12. And we will read 1 and 2. And I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's holy word. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all the honor and all the glory. Father, if we don't praise you, no one else will. If your church that you are the head of doesn't praise you, then nobody else will. But we will praise you. We will thank you. We will exalt you. And it's all for your glory, O Lord. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Just a little bit of background for us to understand the book of Romans. Of course, it was written, most historians believe that it was written from Corinth, in 57 AD. Paul did not establish this church in Corinth. In Acts 1:13, he had a desire to go to Rome. Eventually, of course, in his fourth missionary journey, as it's called, when he was in prison and taken to Rome because he appealed, and so that's when he finally got there. The church actually was established by new believers who were returning from Jerusalem. They were following the resurrection of Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And so there is something that the Holy Spirit does on people when he comes to reside and take dwelling in their lives. Something happened when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. It's still making an impact today. When you give your life to Christ, you're a new creation. All things have passed and everything has been made new. But the letter was also taken by, in Acts 16, 1 and 2, 12 says, and it is believed that Phoebe carried the letter. When we look at the text, there is something here in between that we need to look at. And the first thing we need to look at this verse in Romans. Now look at this, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All right, listen to this. Paul really nailed this, and he said, listen, folks in Rome, I know that you are saved. I know you have the Holy Spirit. I know you believe in the resurrection. What are you going to do with all of that? What you're going to do with it is Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans, folks who were Jews and other Gentile nations, the whole world is lost without Christ. They need Jesus, and we have Jesus, and we need to give Jesus to people. That's called sharing. And so, between Romans 3:23, we go to Romans 5:8. It says, God demonstrated his own love towards us, in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you and me. Knowing who we were, he still died for us. Because he loves us. God loves you. He loves the whole world. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter your language. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter if you went to school or you have a PhD. Listen, God loves you. He loves the sinner. He loves the sinner. But he doesn't like sin. That's why Jesus came to the cross. We must not be complacent and think that God loves sin. He does not love sin. This is why Jesus was sent to die on the cross for our sins. And so, how does an evangelistic mindset look like? And what should be the church's primary focus? So in Romans 12:2, it says, for us to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, once we become believers, once we are forgiven of our sins, there is this transformation of the mind that needs to be taking place. It needs to be being conformed not to the world, because listen, if we do not are transformed and renewed by the mind, then we are going to have someone who is born again, but with a worldly mindset. So there needs to be a renewing of the mind. Paul needed to let the folks in the church at Rome who have the Spirit of God, who believe in the resurrection, they needed to understand that that wasn't it, that the bus didn't stop there. The bus doesn't stop because we are Christians and we come to church. Listen, there needs to be a renewal of the mind. It needs to renew the mind. And so, what should be then our focus? How can we renew our mind, and how can we have a renewed mind? Well, first of all, we need to focus on Jesus being glorified. Everything that we do is to glorify the King. Everything that we do as a believer, everything that we do is to glorify the Lord. So that's our measuring stick. Ask yourself what you are doing right now in this 2026, this May 2026, if what you are involved in is a glorifying God. That's the measuring stick. It is not other believers. It is not the people who don't know God. You see, sometimes we measure our Christianity with other believers. Well, this guy is here, you know, he's drinking Jack Daniels. I'm just drinking a cup of wine. That's all. And so our measure is got to be Christ. Our measure is Christ. What does God think of me? Lord, am I glorifying you by what I'm doing, by my involvement in my business, in my teaching, in my school? Whatever your profession is, are you glorifying God today? Not if you glorify God, like if you've been married 50 years and you tell your wife now, I told you I love you 50 years ago. No, I'm talking about now. She wants to hear, now do you love her? I love my baby she was so beautiful. My baby was so beautiful. Oh, when she was born, they gave it to me. That was 25 years ago. Are you telling them you love them now? Today is the day. For this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Are you loving today? That's the question. Because we are here to glorify the Lord. Sometimes, listen, people are so frustrated, they're believers because they always want to get approval from other people. Listen, we are going to heaven, we're going to be in the judgment seat of Christ, and you are not going to be there, it's me and the Lord. We keep looking at other people and see what they're doing. We're trying to get the favor of other people. We are here to glorify God. I am here to glorify God. You are here to glorify God. And Paul wanted the church to know, hey, listen, whatever God has you is to glorify the Lord. So the second thing, God does not want glory for no one else but himself. So where do you get that from, brother? How about Isaiah 42:8? I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. God wants all the glory for himself, not for me. Sometimes we need to kind of change our vocabulary. Sometimes we say, if it wasn't for me, oh, you wouldn't be where you are. Not for our glory. God says, no. You glorify me. Glorify the Lord. In everything that we do, we need to glorify the Lord. The second thing, not only are we supposed to focus on Jesus being glorified, but the church is primary concern for the spiritual. Paul was trying to tell the church, I put you there, I birthed you there, so you can focus on the spiritual. Hospitals, what do they focus on? On the well-being, on the physical. That's their mission statement. We are here for the person to be well so we can send them home. A mechanic is interested, his primary focus is to fix your car, fix our car, so we can get back on the road again and sing the Willie Nelson song. Every area in life has a primary focus. But the primary focus of the living church, of the living God, is spiritual. God has put First Baptist Church in Fort Valley, Georgia, in the Peach County, for a spiritual purpose. People are lost. They need Jesus. People are lost, and they need Jesus. And you say, well, I got all the time in the world. Listen, even this week, God reminded me, Dennis, life is not short or long. Your life is in my hand. I can call you home in any moment. So what are you doing with your life today? Are you really concerned about the spiritual condition of the community where God has planted the church? How much time do you spend in sharing the gospel or attempting to share the gospel with people who do not know God, who are destined for a total separation from God once they close their eyes here on earth? See, the church primary should be primary concern needs to be the spiritual. We are a spiritual entity. That's what we are. Because God lives in us. Look at Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is is looking for lost people, people who do not have a relationship with him. He's looking for them, just like he looked for us. And now it's our turn to take the gospel to other people. If we don't do it, we are going to close our doors. We got to share the gospel. God put that church in Rome to share the gospel. But not only were they to share the gospel, but they were also to ask for spiritual discernment. It's not just to come and to go, you know, Sunday after Sunday, and it's wonderful to come together. But listen, we are not in church every day, Monday through Friday, Saturday, unless we have something in the church. In other words, we are not just a spiritual entity to share the gospel, but we're also a spiritual entity to discern what's coming our way. We need to discern if it's God's will or not God's will. Look the way 1 John 4 put it. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So the church needs to be asking, "Lord, is this coming from you? Is this you, Lord, or if it's not you?" We need to be like Elijah in the cave. He didn't come out the first time. You know, there was a strong wind, and that wasn't it. And there was a subtle wind, and he said, that's it. That's God. Are you able to discern what the Spirit of God is telling you right now in your life, what you need to do? That's what John says. Is this from you, Lord? Is this coming from you? Or is this coming from the devil? We need to have spiritual discernment when we walk. So what is this evangelistic mindset? It's got to focus on reaching people for Christ. We all know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." But 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "For God wants everyone," and this is coming from the Easy Reading Version. It said, "God wants everyone to be saved." Everyone to be saved and to fully understand the truth. There is only one God and there is only one way that people can be saved. That way is through Christ Jesus. The only way. It's the only way. Why are we more excited about sharing the gospel, knowing that the time is short? We need to share the gospel. We need to have this mindset that we need to share the gospel. The second thing, not only are we to focus on sharing, but also we need to understand that we are at war. We are at war. From the moment you and I gave our lives to Christ, we are at war. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, Paul reminds the church that they need to put on the full armor of God. We need to put the full armor of God. He says, put on the breastplate. Take the sword. Take the full armor. See, we are at war. The devil didn't like Jesus, and the devil doesn't like you and I either. We're in battle. And we got our weapons. We have weapons. We have the Spirit of God who lives in us. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We got the Word of God right here, the Word of God. This is not my word. This is what God already said. This is God's word. And when we come to the Word of God, and when you meditate on the Word of God, God begins to strengthen you and to help you and to encourage you. He begins to do a wonderful work in our lives. Spiritual warfare is real. The devil is real. God is real. He's real. You say, how do I know the devil exists? You know when Satan's best day is? Sunday morning. The kids don't want to get ready. They don't want to get up. Sometimes you don't want to get up. Listen, I have iron clothes sometimes, and they burn. On Sunday morning, heart breaks down. Talked to a brother in Christ, and just the moment he was heading to church, his big puppy ran out the door. And next thing you know, he's with a three-piece suit running all over the neighborhood on Sunday morning. There's something about Sunday. What happened on Sunday? He was raised from the dead. And because he lives, I can live tomorrow. For greater is he who lives in us than that which is in the world. 1 John 4:4. And I keep putting Isaiah 41:10 there. Don't be afraid. I will help you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Spiritual warfare is real. We need to understand the battlefield. See, the devil always goes for the head, your mind, to contradict everything that is on this book right here, to contradict everything God said. God says, I love you unconditionally. The devil says, really? Just look at yourself. Really? Do you think God loves you? Nobody loves you. That's what he puts in the mind. And Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the mind needs to be renewed. The devil understands, and he attacks. He's strategic with you and me. He knows how to slow us down. That's why he doesn't want you to pray. He'll never tell you to read the Bible. He'll never tell you to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray. Never. If that is in your heart, is coming from God, do it. So what does he do? God says don't be afraid. And what does he do? Doubt. And you hear it in the body of Christ. I believe we're going to have revival here. Well, I really don't think we are going to have revival. Really? Well, I believe it. It puts fear. Fear. Well, we don't know what's going to happen now. Listen, there's not a leaf that drops from a tree that is not God's will. He reminds us of our past. Have you ever thought about that? When you are trying to grow in the Lord and you're in the Word and you come in a church and you're praying and you're taking all of a sudden, here comes a thought from the past, 20 years ago. And it's fresh again, like just like it happened again. Guess what? We have been forgiven. What did you and I did, it was nailed to the cross. He brings the past and make it present. What is the ultimate objective? He's trying to distort the koinonia. He's trying to restore. Listen, he's trying to distort the relationship that you and I have with God. Because once he does that, we become ineffective for the kingdom of God. It contradicts everything else. Even from Genesis, you remember? Adam and Eve. God said, you cannot eat of that tree. You can have all of these trees here, except that one. And the devil comes and says, using the snake, and says, oh, you can have that tree. Really? See? Doubt. It's always when people have not trusted Christ, listen to this. This is what he's doing. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, there's the mind, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Who is the God of this age? Satan. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine on them. The only one who doesn't want you to know God is the devil. Because he knows what's coming. He also knows what Jesus did on the cross. They are in death. We are free. How can we renew our mind? You got to stay in the Word. You got to stay in the Word. Read it every day. The devil doesn't want you to read it. Listen, try to do it early in the morning if you can. Once something else begins to happen, listen, it's over. The probabilities of you getting back to the Word that day are very slim. Jesus used to get up early in the morning. It's not the only time, but I believe that it's probably the best time. You got to believe this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. We don't have anything else. This is God's Word. This is God's spoken Word. As one said, it's the intention of the Holy Spirit. We got everything that's going to happen is right here written. There is no special revelations or anything. Everything is right here. We talk about repetition. I encourage you, read Isaiah 41:10 every morning. And I tell you what, the people at the gas station, they're not your enemy. But the devil may be using them. The people at the store, they're not your enemy. The devil may be using them. See, when that fades away, what do we have in the text in Romans? It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We all want to know what God's will is. I do. I want to know what God wants me to do or where he wants me to be. But the mind needs to be renewed. As a praise team leads us, maybe you're here today and you have not trusted in Christ Jesus. He died on the cross for you, and he wants you to be saved. He wants you to know him. Maybe you're in doubt. The devil has put doubt in your mind whether you are saved or not saved. You just want to make it clear today. Maybe you never trusted the Lord in your heart, and today is the day of salvation. As the prayer team leads us, what do you want?
Stand and sing with us.
To Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live.
Give your life to Christ. You can do it while you're driving. Just don't close your eyes. You can do it in the comfort of your home, in your living room. I gave my life to Christ in a nightclub. God is there. He's there. Brother Ray, will you dismiss us in prayer?